Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates, belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. You got it.
Wonderful. Well, once again, I'm Lisa Lindsay. I'm your guest moderator here on our Holiness Helpers radio program. And I have with me Teresa Monahan, who needs no introduction, but we'll ask for one anyway.
Oh, I'm sure I need an introduction.
All right, then. You give it.
I don't need to be introduced. I can just be quiet and sit here and listen to you read so beautifully. Teresa Monahan, National Moderator of the Pro-Sanctity Movement and local director of the Pro-Sanctity Retreat Center in Elkhorn.
Wow, where a lot is going on, which we'll talk about later. But today, we're here to talk about, we have an annual plan of formation here at Pro-Sanctity, and this year, the theme is A Saint, Fully Human, Fully Alive. And we are today going to look at Chapter 10. And Chapter 10 states, a saint is a person living among others, believing with all his heart that they are his brothers and sisters.
That is chew on that for a while, Lisa.
I was thinking, pondering that in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, do a little at the camp for little girls that we run every summer. We have a little activity where the children are invited to put on what we call wonder glasses.
Wonder glasses.
Wonder glasses. Mm. And the wonder glasses are made out of egg cartons.
Okay.
The little, you know how the eggs sit in those little, each in its own little pouch?
Yes.
Well, if you cut them apart, you have two eyeballs. And you take some pipe cleaners and you make a little place for the ears. Stick it in there so you can put it around your ear and a little bridge across between the two of them. And they look like funny glasses. Of course, then you need to open them up.
Yes.
So you can see.
I was
going to
say, you wouldn't be able to see much like that, too.
And you open them up. The children love this. Then they decorate it. And you can put magic marker. I prefer not sparkles because sometimes sparkles will get in the eyes, but you can put fancy little sequins and things that can be glued on that won't fall off in the eye. Anyway, they look like bug eyes, basically. You look like you have bug eyes on. We call them wonder glasses.
Oh.
And with wonder glasses, we invite the children to put them on and see everything with God's eyes. So as the children, if it's an indoor day or if it's an outdoor day, doesn't matter, they trip around with these little eyeglasses, these bug-looking eyeglasses on, and they look at things and they go, and they have wonder and they have awe. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit through baptism and confirmed in confirmation. And we encourage them to see everything as God sees it, as beautiful, as precious. Then, this is the finale. Look at one another. Look at the person next to you. And then you will see the greatest of all God's creation. Better than a tree, better than a bug, better than a butterfly. Then we have a little discussion about why is a person better than a tree? Trees are beautiful. They should be respected. They shouldn't be taken advantage of. They shouldn't be abused. But how much more should the precious child designed by God with what in his... The tree doesn't have a heart. The tree can't love you and kiss you and be friends with you. Can be there and you can enjoy it. And you can even hug a tree. Some people in the past were into hugging trees. And so now put your wonder glasses back on and look and see God in that person. That's God looking back at you. God created that person. He loved that person into existence. He wants that person to be your friend. And the children go, oh, and there's no difference, we say, from any one individual. They are all God's special people, special children, everybody. You can look at this neighbor or that neighbor or somebody across the street. They're all created by God. Yeah. So we invite the children into a sense of wonder and awe at their creation, that they are not just like the trees. They can laugh, they can love, they can smile. They can do bad, but they can great potential to do good. That's number one. And number two, that everyone has that potential. Everyone is created by God. So the whole concept of universal brotherhood, sisterhood, this universal call to holiness that's for everyone, starts to make sense at the age of 3, 4, 5. We don't have any problems at that age. Later on, we began to make distinctions. We take the wonder glasses off. And we see the warts and we see my difficulty with that person or their attitudes or their whatever it might be.
They just rub you the wrong way.
Exactly. Exactly. But if we would put our wonder glasses back on, the eyes of God to see that person as our child, as the child of God, as my brother, as my sister, then a saint is a person living among others, believing with all his heart that they are his brothers and sisters. With wonder glasses on, I can believe that. And I need to maintain those wonder glasses into adulthood. So the founder of Pro Sanctity and our up-and-coming, newly, almost beatified Pope John Paul II had this great awareness that it's not enough to be a saint alone, that we are all called to be holy. All, A-L-L. Seems like a little word, but it means all, universal. That means everyone, first and foremost, is created by God to be only one thing, to be a saint. That's our only goal. That's our only destination. Only. That's it. There's no discussing this, Lisa.
I wasn't objecting out loud.
What we often object to is our own holiness. Who, me? A saint? And if we doubt our own holiness, we very quickly doubt the holiness of others. We very quickly start to have reasons why we shouldn't like that person or love that person.
Yes.
Or spend time with that person. And that person could even be countries and nations and kingdoms. Pretty soon it's, and we can see it in the history of humankind. This is the way it's happened.
Sure, anybody different than we are.
It precisely.
Could be. Well, when you talk about this and you say about seeing God and others, I can't help but comes to mind Mother Teresa, of course, right?
Yeah.
And the way she would see Jesus, and people would always ask, how can you do that? You know, how can you do that? And, you know, pick somebody who is lying in the street, you know, maybe covered with sores, probably not the best smell in the world, you know, maybe fraught with disease, maybe open sores, all these things that, you know, we all want to run from, you know, get our Purell,
exactly.
cover ourselves,
yeah.
you know. But she was able to, you know, love them, really love them.
You know who taught her that or assisted her in maintaining her wonder glasses to see in all the wonder of God in every human being?
No, who?
Was her mom.
Aww.
Her little mom. When she was growing up, she shares this in some letters, and it's written up in some of the biographies now, that especially the official biographies always refer to the way that her mother would encourage the kids to come with her throughout the neighborhood. When she would make one pot of stew, there'd always be half of that pot that went down the street to the neighbor lady who needed it. Yeah. If she had, she was a lace maker. If she was making lace, the proceeds, there was always an offering given for that needy family or that needy child or for somebody who had need of shoes or boots or whatever. Mother Teresa wrote often about how she couldn't bear, her mother could not bear to see anyone go without food, without clothing, without a hug, without a smile. And she communicated that to her children, that each and every person is so precious in the eyes of God. They are that each one of us is the apple of God's eye. So when I put God's eyes on, I see the apple, all the apples, the whole bushel of apples are in God's eyes. They are all the apples of his eye. There's no distinction. And yes, they say one rotten apple spoils the bunch. Well, that's probably true in the sense that my holiness ignites and encourages others. The mother of Mother Teresa was the example, was the witness, was the lifestyle that encouraged for us to have one of the greatest saints of modern times. That just boggles my mind. This little mother who had no thought that her daughter would become this great woman that everybody would know. In fact, I mean, it would probably have been inconceivable for her.
Sure.
But that she was called to be very attentive to the brother and sister next door or down the street in their own home, even to the enemies, so to speak, of her husband, who died, we're pretty sure, of diabolical reasons, that there had been some sabotage, some political sabotage that had happened to him. We don't know for absolute fact, but we know that one day he was well and the next day he had a severe stomach ache and died. Oh. And they think he was poisoned, you know, among some of the conjectures in regards to her husband. But she never stopped loving, and she communicated that to her children.
And we can do that as well. I mean, maybe not to the degree. A person comes to my mind that I still remember, and this is kind of funny because this is back in 1967 when I went to kindergarten. And at that time, there were the relationships between the different races were not very good here in the United States. And this was a public school, and most of the children were African-American children. And some of them were fine, and some of them were struggling financially. And there was a teacher there. She was a kindergarten teacher. Her name was Mrs. Yancey. Mm. And to this day, I still remember her because here she was. She was, she was white, and most of the children were black. And when it was cold out, she never let a single child walk out that door without a pair of gloves. And that half the time she would buy them. And I still remember that, you know, because, you know, the relationships between the two races were very, there was a lot of talk about it. I know it's not so much like that today, but I remember that the violence of thought against one another. And here in this classroom in the middle of this in 1967 with these little children, the teacher who was white and the little children who were black, and she... There was none of that in that classroom, you know. She didn't see that.
We set the tone. We set the tone. And it first comes from our own conviction of a very important horizontal relationship, but that comes directly from our relationship with God. How can we say that we love God and not love our brother and sister? How can we do that? So as my relationship, that vertical relationship with the Lord, I cultivate it, you know, with my daily prayer practices, my study of scripture, my study of the lives of the saints. So I have my little devotions, but all is for naught if I ignore my brother or my sister. And that's easier said than done because I don't always like all my brothers and sisters. I mean, when we were children, we fought like cats and dogs for our biological brothers and sisters. But as adults, even though they may not be our biological brother and sister, we still fight with them. And we still get at odds, and there's still vendettas, so to speak, and all kinds of things that keep us.
Yes.
It's a good time in Lent to pause and review. Is there someone out there that I haven't forgiven?
Yes.
Is there someone out there that I haven't paid attention to, or I showed some friendly you know, gestures, but then stopped. I've forgotten that person is in need of my friendship or my presence or a visit. Small little things. No one of us can save everyone. And Mother Teresa never, going back to Mother Teresa, she never pretended to go out and pick up every single solitary dead and dying and suffering person out there. I think, practically speaking, she did. But if you look at the numbers, my gosh, that lady was busy, busy, busy. And then she got millions of people busy doing it. That was the key. But when she was approached with thoughts, can you do this for everyone? No, she said, but I can do it one at a time, one by one. I can reach out to this. I should be present. The invitation is to be present to the person in front of me, whomever that person is. Black, white, green, brown, you know, doesn't matter color. That's the least of things. Actually, today, I mean, that's still certainly issues in certain places and maybe even in our own homes, but probably more as the person that maybe that grates me, that drives me to perspiration. That's what St. Therese the Little Flower had such a difficulty with one of the sisters, a holy sister, having a problem with another holy sister in a convent. Well, if they can have problems with each other, anybody and everybody does.
That just amazed me.
We should not. We shouldn't feel bad that we have problems. If we're to feel bad is if we didn't do anything about it. Yeah. And if we didn't cultivate that vertical relationship that then gives us the grace and strength and energy to reach out beyond what might seem to be our capacity to love everyone, to love each individual as they come to us, and to love anyway, as Mother Teresa and the other saints would say, even if they don't love us back.
Didn't Therese of Lisieux have there was a sister that she would really rub her the wrong way, and then she would smile big,
Sister Pierre. Sister Pierre used to drive her, and that's where that expression came from. Used to drive her to perspiration. And in our language today, I want to punch her in the face. I mean, some rude thing like that. You know?
But she would smile. That's what
she
when I read.
She smiled, and she actually made an extra effort to go out to that sister. And she would write the difficulty she had in her journal. However, Sister Pierre had no clue that was such a difficulty. And in fact, in the memoirs of Sister Pierre, or in a conversation that was recorded, we hear Sister Pierre saying, I don't know why, but that Sister Teresa, she thinks we're best friends because she's always smiling at me.
That's brilliant.
Now, that's wonder glasses.
Yes.
Saint Therese was able to maintain, that was the real spiritual exercise, to exercise loving her anyway. And before she knew it, that love was purified and it was strengthened. And she did love her deeply. Doesn't mean we get along with everybody or agree.
Yes.
But that she loved her unconditionally so much so that she sought her out and she kept the smile. And it was real. Wow. It was not a fake smile. It was not a fake smile. You know, there's a beautiful quote from our formation booklet. I'd like to share it. It's by Joseph G. Donders, D-O-N-D-E-R-S. It's a beautiful title, Jesus the Stranger, Reflections on the Gospel. And this is from pages 98 and 99 of that book. He writes, we should ask for the Father. We should be with the Father, but not in such a way that we escape our responsibilities. Jesus shouted for his Father while hanging on the cross. He looked up. He searched the horizon. He scanned the skies. His Father did not come, but his Father sent him the power to stay with us, to take up his responsibility among us, even on the cross. He looked up vertically, but he stayed with us horizontally. That is what our position should be, to look up for the Father, but only that. We should look up and get from the Father the force and power to work in this world, in this country, horizontally, to help create justice and peace, dignity and universality. And we might add that the universal call to holiness would reign through all the continents and in every home. We look up vertically to the Father and receive the grace we need, the awareness of God's love for me and God's love for everyone, that the Father has each one of us in his heart, created each one of us uniquely, beautifully, wonderfully made, as the psalm says. And as we pay attention to that, then our wonder glasses, they get that nice little juice that you spray on them that makes, they get cleaned, they get clarified. We can see more clearly the beauty around us, the beauty of the other. We see the shining presence of God in each person, each as a child of God, son and daughter of the Father, brothers and sisters to Jesus. And then there will be this universality. At least it will begin. And it has to begin with me. It has to begin with my personal commitment, like Mother Teresa's mother, like my own mother. When we were children, she was very, very sensitive to the needs of the neighbors. So much so that occasionally I'd come home and I'd find the couch missing or my dad's shoes missing. I'd say, Ma, what happened to the couch? Oh, well, there was this family that needed it.
Oh.
Or she'd come and she'd say, well, you know, your father, he has lots of shoes. And there was a gentleman that came to the door seeking some work. And I could see that he didn't have any shoes. So I gave away his shoes. And your dad will be okay with it.
And he was.
He was always okay with it. And we were often, very often taken. And I say taken because we weren't always so eager. We learned to be eager. I learned to be eager. But taken to the rest homes, to those places where people maybe were sick with particular diseases, care centers, those kinds of places. And we would tap dance for him. Now, don't ask me to tap dance today.
I was awful. I have
the
talent.
But the elderly and the sick and probably the blind, they didn't care.
And the deaf especially.
Exactly. But what a great experience of learning the universal call to holiness at home.
Yeah.
That everyone needs a visit. That everyone should have a little moment of joy. And that maybe I can't meet everybody or greet everybody, but the Father, looking up at the Father, he's looking at me with a great desire for responsibility to do what I can, what I am able with the gifts and talents that God has given us. So as we look at this next season, we soon are going to come upon next couple shows. We're going to be talking about Pope John Paul II, the great saint maker. I invite our listeners to pay attention to those saints. No saint was a saint that did not reach out to others, either through deep prayer, conscientious service, great awareness that forgiveness was number one in their heart, even those who persecuted them, especially those. The forgiveness that came out of the lives of the saints is something to be contemplated. So learn from Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa and Saint Therese of Lisieux and the multitude of saints that we will be talking about in these years to come in our own show and in other shows that we air on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from them to look up to the Father and out to your brothers and sisters. The call to holiness is universal, and so is brotherhood and sisterhood. Amen.
Tutti.
Tutti santi, tutti fratelli.
All saints, all brothers and sisters. Okay, so
very
I did a perfect time to go to. That was wonderful. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
And we're just going to close with a little bit of fun, a little bit of
PR.
Public relations.
There we go.
We just want to let you know that tonight, Saturday, April 9th, is our Pro Sanctity Camp Fun and Faith for Girls fundraising dinner, and you can still come. There's a 5:30 social hour and a 6:30 p.m. dinner. There's going to be a silent auction. It's going to be at St. Pius X Parish Center. That's 6905 Blondo Street in Omaha, Nebraska. So they can come and they can get tickets at the door.
Absolutely.
Still. So please come. If you haven't already signed up for that, please come.
Children and families are coming.
That's what's so wonderful because children and families, everybody's invited. It's a wonderful time. So We invite you all to come out. Father Damien Cook is the master of ceremonies there that evening. And entertainment information will be done by the Apostolic Oblates and Pro Sanctity members. And you can go on the website to find out more about what's going on. Of course, we have the Camp Fun and Faith for Girls. We have the Love is Fire National Pro Sanctity Convention, which is July 29th through the 31st. Cardinal Lorenzi is coming to talk about the Universal Call to Holiness in Light of Familiaris Consortio. So a lot going on. Go to our website at prosanctity.org. And finally, I'd like to close with a prayer. This is an excerpt from our Pro Sanctity prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, Divine Master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue, and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. Amen. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you so much, Lisa. God bless you.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.